I want to talk to you about excellence and ordering your life. You know, the Bible says that God is a God of order. Word says that. God is a God of order. And if he's a God of order, it says he's not a God of confusion, he's a God of order. If he's a God of order, I think we should be people of order. Amen? How we organize, how we manage. All of us probably need to grow in those areas of our lives. I want to take the United States government for an example today, because something just happened last month. The United States government, for the first time in history, last month, in the month of February, hit the $22 trillion national debt mark. $22 trillion. And you thought you were in debt. $22 trillion. Now, the federal government adds to the debt whenever it spends more than it receives in tax revenue. It's important for us to understand that because it has an application to our lives as well. Of course, government, each year, they have a set budget. So whenever there is a budget deficit, that gets added to the national debt. If there is a surplus, which we are told there never is, it gets added, or it gets subtracted, rather, from the national debt. Now, economists tell us and warn us that at some point there will be an implosion in the United States government. And it's kind of scary to think about that, because if the government goes broke, just think how that would affect this country. And I don't think people realize how quickly things could happen. And, you know, there's a spirit of debt that is in the nation. There's no doubt about that. You know, and there are only two ways to reduce debt. Revenue must be raised or spending must be cut. All right, so that applies to a government. It also applies to you and I personally. All right, if we want to order our lives financially, then we need to get more money. Everybody's for that, right? But then we need to cut spending. Nobody's for that. Amen. That's a harder one to do. We could always use more money, but it's hard to reduce spending. You know, and living in the world system, things are constantly skyrocketing. Prices are constantly going up on everything. You know, but these are key things to remember. Two ways to reduce debt: revenue must be raised or spending must be cut. So if you and I are going to order our lives financially, pardon me, if we're going to order our lives financially, we have to know some key things here. We have to know how much we have, and we have to know how much is going out. It's a simple principle of economics, right? Know how much is coming in and how much is going out. So I want to pose a couple of money questions today. First of all, how much is my monthly net spendable income? That means when you get your check, if you work for a company, unless you're self-employed or you have your own business, then there would be a different application. But if you work for a company, they are going to deduct your tax rate based upon your salary out of your income. Isn't that right? They don't give you an IOU with your paycheck, believing that you're going to take care of the bill. They take it out. Your company takes it out. Whatever Social Security, whatever other deductions may be involved in there. If you have a 401k, you know, all of that is taken out. And then you are left with your monthly net spendable income. I think all of us understand that, right? What is my net spendable income? Question number one. Question number two, where is my net spendable income going? All right, if we're going to order our lives financially, then we have to answer these questions. And if we answer them right, then we're going to reap the benefit of it. So I want to give you some verses to kind of kick this off. Book of Proverbs has a lot to say about money matters. And gives us a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight. And that's what Proverbs are. Proverbs are words of wisdom. All right, so we read this in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. It says, "Wealth not earned, but won in haste or unjustly, or from the production of things for vain or detrimental use, such riches will dwindle away. But he who gathers little by little will increase his riches." He'll increase it. Now, last week I made a mention about, playing the lottery, that I have never purchased a lottery ticket. I do not encourage people to purchase lottery tickets. It's the world system of gaining wealth. And they tell us that the odds of someone winning the Powerball are one, if I'm remembering correctly, it's one in over 10 million. Or it's either 10 million or 22 million. I can't remember what it is now. But it's astronomical. So you have a better chance of being hit by lightning than you do in winning the lottery. But how many people, invest in that and, waste money on that? And we know there are people that, that win it. I mean, sometimes people do win it. They beat the odds, right? But I've seen so many stories, and I'm sure you've seen some of those shows too, of how people that have struck it rich and then just wasted, they didn't know how to handle it. And that's what this verse is telling us. Wealth that is not earned, but is won in haste or unjustly from the production of things for vain or detrimental use will dwindle away. But he who gathers little by little will increase his riches. All right, consider this one in Proverbs 21:5. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." The plans of the diligent. Okay, so if you think of that in the realm of finances, all right, he's talking about having a financial plan. The plans of the diligent will lead to an abundance, but those who act hastily. So in other words, if you purchase something without counting the costs, are y'all with me? I had somebody I worked with ask me a question, and they knew I was a minister because I worked several years. I was bivocational for several years as I worked a full-time job and also pastored full-time. And I had someone ask me, "Have you ever just gone out and bought something that you wanted for a long time, but you knew you could really not afford it?" And I was like, "No, that would be stupid." Because if you can't pay for it, you got to be able to pay for it. Amen? So don't ever make, this verse is telling us, don't make hasty financial decisions. How many of you know it's so easy to do that in purchasing a car? I'm a truck guy, so a truck. I love my truck. Y'all remember that's a country western? It's right outside. Well, let me stay focused here. Amen. But it's so easy to make decisions hastily, financial decisions hastily. God's word says don't do that. All right, consider this one in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3. This is a good one right here. Proverbs 24:3 says, "Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation." All right, so in the realm of ordering our life and ordering our finances, he says in this verse that it takes skillful and godly wisdom. I really love that because that is telling me that God is going to help us. He's going to give us guidance. He's going to give us wisdom. He's going to give us direction of how to prosper. Okay, I shared with you last week, one of the top principles of prosperity is you work hard and you are rewarded for that. And the Bible says, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. You know, it's a principle that we find. You work hard and you reap the benefit. You know, that's in the system of the world, because we learned last week, the system of the world, it operates on the system of doing what? Buying and selling. All right, but God's system doesn't operate that way. His system, his economy operates by what? Giving and receiving. That's a kingdom economy. Amen? Born again Christians should always operate in the kingdom economy. All right, so let's get back to answering our money questions. How much is my monthly net spendable income? Should be real easy to figure that out. Where is my net spendable income going? This is where we need some help. So I want to give you the top 10 lists. And these are areas, and there's other things that could be added to this list that are not included. But these are kind of the top 10 areas of where money goes. All right, number one, first of all of us need a place to live. Amen? We need a roof over our heads. We need a home, or we need an apartment, or we need some dwelling place. All right, so with our net spendable income, our housing, which would include the mortgage or the rent or the utilities, that would also include property taxes, you know, anything and everything associated with housing, it should not be any more than 25 to 38% of your net spendable income. That's a pretty good percentage. 25 to 38%. If it is above that, then guess what? You're living in a house you really can't afford. And I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of people that are. They're living, you know, into the 40-something percent. You know, they're living in a place that they really cannot afford. All right, so to order our finances, very important that we understand this. And I would try to definitely lean lower to the 25%, if at all possible. You know, now, based upon, you know, economic factors, you know, interest rates rise based upon what's going on with the government and what's going on in the economy. You know, the national debt, there's a lot of things, you know, that affect lending institutions, banks, you know, interest rates, you know, all of these things. So I would definitely try to lean as close as I could to the 25%. All right, then the second category is food. We all like to eat. Can I get an amen? Yeah. I plan on having lunch today. How about you? I'm already hungry. Hallelujah. I'm ready to eat. We have a grocery bill. That's another area. It's skyrocketing. You know, I paid $3.49 in Walmart last night for a half a gallon of 2% milk. I mean, 2% milk should be cheaper, right? $3.49. I thought that was highway robbery. You know, so food is skyrocketing. All right, so our food bill should be in the 10 to 15% category. All right, the third category is that of auto. All right, so that would include a car payment. That would include gas. That would include insurance. Everything associated with transportation. All right, so that should be in the 12 to 15% category. And I'm going to tell you, folks, that in that percentage, that leaves a very small amount for a car note, because there's a lot of costs associated with automobiles, with our vehicles. Insurance, that's another area, just skyrocketing. Thank God that gas is reasonable, but we know how that can change. Amen? When I bought my truck, which only gets about 15 miles a gallon, gas was almost $4. And somebody had asked me when I was still shopping for a truck, and I went looked at, actually I was shopping for a vehicle for someone, or trying to help someone out, and I went to a used car lot, and I told the guy, I said, I just bought this, or I'm getting ready to buy this brand new truck, and he He said, how much gas mileage? I said, it's like, man, it's like only 14, 15 miles a gallon. He said, you're going to buy that with gas at almost $4 a gallon? Because at that time, gas was like $3.69 or $3.79 a gallon. And I said, well, yeah, I guess I am, you know. And I remember when I went to Toyota to pick up the truck, he said, it's going to cost you $100 to fill it up. I was like, maybe I didn't count the costs. But thank God gas came down. Hallelujah. I hope it stays down. But there's a lot of expense associated with automobiles, with vehicles, you know. So very important that we stay within the percentage rate, you know, in purchasing an automobile. All right, fourth category: hospitalization insurance. That's a hot button topic in our society today, right? I mean, healthcare is a big issue. Skyrocketing costs of healthcare. I mean, there's constant news reports on hospital bills and procedures that are done. And I just, this wasn't too long ago, I saw a report on certain surgeries that are being done and a big range of difference of price from different hospitals. You know, so the report, they were kind of, you know, making an issue about that. So that's a big hot button topic, and another area that's just skyrocketing. So hospitalization insurance should be about 5%. All right, I admit that could be a little challenging. If you are employed by a company, you know, when I worked for Coca-Cola, I mean, I paid $20 a week for a full benefit package of hospitalization. Had a great plan. Covered dental, covered vision, covered everything. I mean, it was a fantastic plan. At that time, I paid $20 a week. I mean, that was nothing. I have no idea what it would be today, but I guarantee you it's not $20 a week. You know, so that's a very, very big category to consider and how it's skyrocketing. All right, the fifth category is that of clothing. We all need clothing. We need to refresh ourselves, right? Right? I went to Dillard's and got me some new shirts. I'm sporting one today. Y'all like it? I'll sell it to you. I got it on a 40% off already reduced merchandise. I love those kind of sales. I went and got four beautiful shirts for $52. Man, I was shouting. Hallelujah. But clothing, you know, 5 to 6% of our net spendable income. All right, then the sixth category is that of entertainment. That would be restaurants, events, you know, concerts, movies, Saints games. I just read, I didn't read it today, I just kind of went out and grabbed the newspaper off the front lawn, and, you know, I put it on the table, and I just, because on Sunday morning I'm getting ready for the services, you know, I'm in the Word, I'm praying, and so I don't really read the newspaper, but I always open it up and just see what's the headline. So the headline today was on the price increase for season ticket holders for the Saints. So prices are going up. You go 13-3 and almost get to the Super Bowl with a bad call, somebody's got to pay for that bad call, right? So prices have gone up, $8 a ticket. You know, things are scarce. So entertainment, you know, restaurants, events, concerts, movies, games, whatever is your area of entertainment, that should be about 5 to 7%. See, we're talking about ordering things here. All right, here's number seven, debts. That would be loans of any kind, credit cards, student loans, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever form of debt you may have. You know, Visa was introduced, I think, in late 50s, 1958 or 59. And Visa has become, you know, recognized around the world, right? I mean, you can buy anything with a Visa card. You know, and of course, the danger with that is that you can put everything on it. You can put your you can go to the grocery store. You can finance your groceries. You can finance your eating out. You can finance everything. But understand this, okay, that when the bill comes in, if it's not paid in full, it's a debt. Did y'all catch that? See, that's the difference. Okay, there's nothing wrong with a credit card if we use it the right way. But most of us don't use it the right way. It's hard to use it the right way. Why? Because net spendable income. You know, why is the government in trouble? Because they're spending more than what they get in. There's more being spent than the revenue that's coming in. Why do we get in trouble? Because we spend more than what's available. It's a simple principle of economics. But amazing how we don't live by it or operate according to God's principles of finance. Ordering our lives. Loans, credit cards, etc. 5%. I've always said this. There's a reason why they want to give you a revolving charge account. I went into Marshall's. I bought it. This was last year, I think. I bought a nice Calvin Klein leather jacket. Beautiful jacket. And so I go to check out, and she said, you can save 10% if you'll open up a charge account. And I was like, 10%. Well, that's pretty good, you know. But I said, my wife probably, she probably wouldn't like that if I opened up a credit account. And why do they make you those offers? Because that little 10% discount they're going to give you is going to bring them 24 point whatever percent income on that account if you carry a balance. So who's winning? Amen? See, interest is something the banks understand very, very well. They understand how that works. I think many times we need a better insight. You know, so debts, that should only be 5%. Now think of that. That should be 5%. Right there we can see, oh man, here's part of the problem. There's too much debt. Amen? We're carrying way too much debt. All right, the eighth category is a rainy day fund. That simply means money that you put aside every pay period for emergencies. If your air conditioner goes out in your home, that could be an expensive repair. You know, that could be a couple $1,000s. Well, if it's a compressor or an inside coil, I guarantee you it'll probably at least be $2,000. Now that the federal government has changed the coolant, you know, they don't use Freon anymore. Trust me, I've been through all of it. We have 9 units here at the church. And, I've been through that with my AC guy. You know that when a unit goes bad, then you got to change everything because the federal government, you know, changed the regulations. So they're trying to get rid of all the Freon units. So that means you got to replace the whole thing. And it's expensive. Very expensive. So there has to be a rainy day fund. What if your transmission goes out on your car? Or what if your air conditioner goes out on your car? God forbid. I don't care how much that costs. I'm going to get that sucker fixed. Amen? With these summers that we have around here, excuse me, if I have to pull out the credit card, well, so be it. If I got to make some monthly payments, I got to be cool. I'm just being honest here. Amen. It's not. I want to be cool in a better way, though. But rainy day fund should be 5%. All right. Here's the ninth category: school or child care, 5 to 10%. Of course, that can fluctuate based upon how many children you have to take care of. You know, but that should be 5 to 10%. You know, then the tenth category is that of miscellaneous spending: Starbucks, snowballs. Becky and I went to get a snowball last night. We've been waiting for the snowball stands to open. We went to get a snowball last night, and I was about to ask her, is this in the budget? Can we afford this? Can we afford this snowball? Or are we going to have to pay interest on it? Amen? Just think about that. Just miscellaneous, just where money just has gone out, dribs and drabs for this and that. And it's usually, you know, just nickel and dime stuff. That should be 5 to 10%. Some of the financial experts say that to control miscellaneous spending, you should always just kind of get your little envelope and put the cash in there and then get a receipt. If you get a snowball, get a receipt. It sounds foolish, doesn't it? Maybe they won't give you a receipt, but you can write it down. You know, I'm serious, you know, because you'd be surprised. I've told you all this before. I'm going to say it again. You know, my father-in-law came from Depression era, and he hated Starbucks, hated them with a passion. You know why? because he could not get by having to pay $4 for a cup of coffee. He would, and I don't think it's really $4, but I don't think it's too far away, you know. And he would say, there is no way that I will go in that place and pay $4 for a cup of coffee. And I'd say, Pop, it's all right. Come on, I'm going to pay for the coffee. There's no way I'm going to let you pay $4 for a cup of coffee. You know, that was just depression mentality. You know, they came out of the depression. You know, they lived in what was really hard time. We don't know what hard times are. You talk to people that came out of the depression, man. They know what hard times are. You know, so just, you know those areas. These are top 10 areas that we must pay attention to in ordering our finances. All right, now I want to point out to you that nowhere in this list do you find giving to God. Right? Here's the reason why. All right, just like the federal government takes out Social Security and they take out federal income tax, state income tax, you know, and whatever else may be deducted, I believe, and most people don't live by this, but this is how you really put God first. See, he's not put in the net spendable income. Because if you live by the principle of first fruits, then he's honored first. Are y'all with me? All right, so giving to God is put at the top before you even get to the top 10 lists. That, my friend, is how you honor God. And most people don't do it that way. But I'm telling you, if we would begin to do it that way, we would reap the benefit of it. That's why the Bible teaches us the principle of first fruits. You know, we teach tithing here in the local church. We don't teach it as a law that it's something you have to do, because it's not commanded that you do it in the New Testament. However, it is a principle of giving that we find all through the Scripture. It goes all back to the book of Genesis, where it says that Abraham gave Melchizedek, who was the high priest, he was a type of Christ. And it says that Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all of his possessions. Then we find that Joshua, in the book of Joshua, going in to conquer, to take the promised land, the Bible says that there were 10 cities that they had to conquer. All right, the very first city that they conquered, the spoils of the first city were presented to God as an offering. What's 10% of 10? One. What did they do? They presented the first city, the spoils of the first city, presented to God. It's a principle. All right, so then Jesus in the New Testament heals 10 lepers. What does the Bible say? It says only one came back to thank him and to acknowledge him. Are y'all with me? What's 10% of 10? One. Do y'all see this? I could give you more other examples. I mean, it is all through the Scripture. It's a principle. You don't have to do it, but there is a blessing that is attached to those who do. And God says that in his word. You know, the New Testament teaches us a principle of stewardship. That we are simply managers of all that God gives us. We're managers of it. We are stewards of what he puts into our hands. And man, I don't want to be so bound by housing and food and auto expense and, you know, clothes and debt and all of these things where I'm not honoring God. Man, that's bad business. Because remember, in his economy, how does it work? It's giving and receiving. Hallelujah. That, my friend, is how he does it. So it's very important that we understand these incredible principles of ordering our lives financially. All right, so I want to talk to you along these truths here today. Four main truths. I want to talk to you along the lines of four main truths about ordering our lives God's way. Because it's very important that we follow the instruction manual. In Matthew chapter 6, here's the first truth. Jesus taught us to think heavenly. He taught us to think heavenly. All right, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Very important that we see this. Jesus is talking about thinking heavenly. He taught us to think heavenly. If we think heavenly, we will consider the condition of the heart. Because Jesus said it right here. He says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." All right, so there is a connection. What does all of that mean? See, when Jesus is our treasure, we will commit our resources to Him. We commit our money to Him. We commit our time to Him. We commit our talents to Him. When He is our treasure, when we invest ourselves into Jesus Christ, we are laying up treasures in heaven. Because nothing that we accumulate in this world really means anything in light of eternity. And the only thing that is really laid up in heaven is what we give away. The only thing we take out of this world with us is what we invest in other people, what we do for the kingdom of God. Where does our funds go? Where do our resources go? Where does our time go? Where are my talents being invested? If we invest ourselves into Jesus Christ, my friends, we are laying up treasures in heaven. When we live and give for Jesus' sake, we are storing up treasures in heaven. I want to live like that. I want to live that way. It's very interesting to note in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus puts in the context, when he talks about laying up treasures in heaven, of these three verses we just read. Then the next two verses, he talks about the spiritual life. The lamp of the body is the eye. And you know, if the eye is bad, the whole body is full of darkness. He's talking about the spiritual condition. All right, then he brings us into no man can serve two masters. He will hate one and love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you cannot serve money, riches, possessions, any of those things. Then he brings us into, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. He said, God takes care of the birds of the air. He takes care of the lilies of the field. He says, why worry about all of those things? He says, don't you realize how valuable you are to God? But if you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all other things will be added to you. That's why I say you honor God financially and don't put Him in the spendable income. You put Him at the top. And if you do that, He says right here, then all the things, all of those categories, God says, I will make sure that you have that. I don't know about you, but I believe it. Hallelujah. You know, I'm reminded of what we read in the Psalm 78. Because Psalm 78 talks about God's controversy with the Israelites. Because the Israelites, and all that God did for them, they drifted away and they became full of unbelief. And they posed a question. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? My friends, what would you say is the answer to that? The answer to that, absolutely He can. Because the Bible says He will make a way when there is no way. It says that He will provide in the desert. He will provide everything we need. But the Israelites became self-sufficient. They became prideful. So they posed the question, can God provide a table? And I believe they posed it with sarcasm. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? Yes, He is God, the creator of the universe. He is who He says He is. and he will do what he says he can do. But they lost sight of thinking heavenly. I don't ever want to lose sight of thinking heavenly. Here's some interesting things to consider in reference to finances. The average church donor gives $649 a year to their local church. That's it. That's nothing. $649 a year. The average church donor, that's what they give. This is from John Piper's ministry. Here's another figure. 23% of born-again believers give no money to their local church. 23% give zero. Here's another figure. 12% of born, only 12% of born-again believers tithe to their local church. Only 12%. Let's be honest. That's pathetic. It's pathetic. If, just think of what would happen if all of God's people really believed it and lived it out. There would be no need to take special offerings. There would be no need to do fundraising events. There would be no need to do, we would have staff positions added. I'm telling you, I believe supernatural things would happen. But these minds, these figures are mind-boggling. They're troubling. You know, so I pose the question, is this thinking heavenly? No, of course it's not. It's not thinking heavenly. And Jesus taught us to think heavenly. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. All right, here's the second area of truth that I want you to consider today. Be thankful and be content with what you have. Thank God for what you have. Listen to what this says. This is a great passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Then he tells Timothy, but you, man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. In other words, don't be sucked into the deceitful world system. Amen. Don't let it grab you. And my friends, that is a challenge that every child of God faces. Every born-again believer faces that challenge. Be thankful and content with what you have. And if the Lord blesses you, then praise God. Enjoy His goodness and grace. But I am here to implore you, if you really want to order your life and have excellence in your life and excellence in finances, then you put Him at the top of the list. You know, and we all understand, you know, that local churches cannot, we cannot operate if everybody gives the price of a McDonald's combo meal. It's not, we can't operate on that. Churches would go bankrupt. Amen. In other words, if there were not at least 12% people tithing, we probably wouldn't exist very long. Amen. Because it costs. Just like we're talking about, you know, escalating costs. I mean, everything is, you know, just the insurance on these buildings is sickening. It's sickening. And every year, it seems like it just goes up. And the thing about it is, it hardly covers anything. And I'm like, what are we paying for? You know, but it's the system in which we are living. You know, but if God so blesses you and enables you to have, you know, more things, and if you can do it without being in the bondage of debt, and if you can stay within the perimeters and operate by God's wisdom and God's grace, then praise God. Enjoy it as a blessing of the Lord. And if the Lord increases your income, then don't just try to figure out ways to spend it. Try to figure out ways to give it and to save it and to use it for the kingdom. Because think about it, my friends, when it's all said and done, when it's all over, the only thing that matters is what we sowed into the kingdom. That's the only thing that's going to matter for eternity. Not where we live, not what kind of car we had, not how much money we made. None of that matters. I don't want to live in the spirit of this world. So be thankful and content with what you have. I'm already thinking, man, I'm ready to get into a condo. It's time to downsize. Hallelujah. You know, cut expenses. You know, just because of escalating prices and just upkeep associated with homes. You know, but be thankful and content. You know, the spirit of the world teaches us to trade up. It could be your car. Your house, I mean, man, even the world teaches you to trade in your spouse, right? Some of you say, well, maybe I want to trade them in. Nope, you said I do. And the moment you said I do, you made a covenant. Amen, you made a covenant. So, might just have to, there you go. Just be the best you can be. Just when you just smile a lot. And for the men, just do everything your wife asks you to do. And if you do that, there will be peace in the valley. That was an Elvis song, right? That's how it works. But that's how the world thinks. You know, trade up, trade up, trade up. You know, the people of the world are always in pursuit of the next best thing. But it's never ending. God in His Word teaches us contentment. Now, that doesn't mean that we never seek life improvement. All of us want life improvement. That's why we're preaching this today. Because we want to be better. Amen. We want to be more effective. But we want to be more effective for God. Hallelujah. Effective for His kingdom. So thank God, you know, that we can, that through the blessing and provision of the Lord, you know, that we can, you know, we can be improved. We can have our lives improved. But it simply means that we stay conscious of how blessed we are. That's what contentment means. Just stay conscious of how blessed you truly are. Because, my friend, there are so many people dealing with so much more. So be thankful and content. See, we're talking about the spiritual truths here that will help us to order our lives, view money the right way, and deal with it the right way. Let me give you the third one. I'm almost done. We've got four. Here's number three. Beware of distractions. The world has a lot of distractions. Can I get an amen? All kind of things try to take our time, our money, our attention. You know, it's designed that way. It's the world system in which we live. Remember, it's buying and selling. You know, those car commercials. Oh, I mean, man, if you ever sit down and just watch TV for an hour, count how many car commercials, truck commercials, automobile commercials, come on, in the context of just 1 hour. I mean, they are investing a lot of money to lure people in. And you know why they invest all that money? Because it works. I mean, I look at those commercials like, man, I want to go see that new truck. I need a new truck. Mine's 11 years old. I got an oil leak on it right now. I got to bring it to the shop tomorrow. I'm ready to trade up, and I'm probably going to trade up. But I don't think I'm going to do it new. I'm going to try to get as much as I can for mine. So I'm not going to trade it. I'm going to sell it. Cuz I want to get as much as I can, and I want to borrow as least amount as possible, and I want to finance it for the least amount of time. Amen. Because I don't like debt. That's why I haven't, you know, so many times I could have went in the boat show this year and I could have bought me a brand new boat. All I had to do was just, here's my name. Do you know who I am? They'll give you anything you want. All they're going to do, they're going to pull up your credit. Oh, man, this dude's good. Let's go. Roll that boat. But I don't want debt. Man, they'll finance them things for 10 years. Who wants to finance? I don't want to finance fishing for 10 years. Right? It's not wise. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll buy that boat. I don't know. Probably not. Have to run it by Becky. See if she gives authorization. Because everything has to go through the Pentagon. The Pentagon authorizes all frivolous spending. Y'all know how that works. All right, look at what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 21. This is great stuff. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 said, "Take heed to yourselves, be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened, depressed, weighed down with a giddiness, headache, nausea of self-indulgence." There's the problem right there. If you got your Bible, that's the only thing about having your Bible on cell phones. You can't underline anything. You can't. Does it come with a highlighter on the cell phones? Oh, praise God. Somebody's following the Holy Spirit. Well, highlight it on your phone. Because that's a very key phrase right there. The nausea of self-indulgence. Because, my friends, that's where the world at large lives. Don't get caught up in the world's way of living. Keep your heart right with God. All right, so he says, beware of that. Then he mentions drunkenness, worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. He's talking about the second coming of Christ, that we have to be prepared. Just like number one, Jesus taught us, think heavenly. All right, here again, he's teaching us. He says, be ready. All right, so he says in verse 36, he says, keep awake then, watch at all times, be discreet, attentive, and ready, praying that you have full strength and ability and be accounted worthy to escape all the things that are coming on the world that will take place and to be able to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. The world is full of distractions. Jesus gave them to us right here. He said, beware of these things, these distractions. And the deal with it is because it appeals to our selfish sin nature. You know, of what we want. I want it. 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 I got to have it. Got to have it. Got to have it. You know, and that's how the world system operates. So Jesus said, don't get caught up in that. He said, be on guard. Don't get caught up in that. Don't be overburdened, depressed, weighed down with all of those things. Let me give you the fourth and final thing. See, because here's the real heart of it right here, you know, is worship. Who are we really worshiping? What are we worshiping? See, spiritual relationship with God is measured by faithfulness. And that's why Jesus, I just read this statistic. It said that Jesus, 23% of his teaching in the Gospels was related to money. 23%, so that's almost one quarter. Almost one fourth of his teaching was related to money issues and how we view money and how we handle money. So it was a big deal then, and it's a big deal even now. And God always measures spiritual condition by where our money is going. Because that will reveal how selfish we're living or how God eternity thinking we're living. It always reveals that. Amen? So check this out. And I'm going to end with this right here. In Luke's Gospel chapter 16, Jesus said this in verse 10. He says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? ? And if you have been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, that statement there and those verses is something we just need to let it soak in. Because it really is an issue of worship. Consider this. In Luke's Gospel chapter 4, Jesus is on a 40-day fast. Satan comes to him, tempts him. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this high point. For it is written, he'll give his angels charge over you. If you are the Son of God, he always challenged him. But then he really got to what his major objective was. Because it was the real issue was worship. Because then he says he took him up to that high pinnacle, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, how stupid is the devil? Because Jesus created everything. But it says it showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all of this I will give into your power. He already had the power. He said, I'll give it to you if you will fall down and worship me. Well, at that point, Jesus it was a Popeye moment. I done had all I could stand. I can't stand no more. I'm telling my age now, I guess. Some of the youngsters are saying, who's Popeye? They're saying, Popeye's chicken? Because at that moment, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He connected worship with service. See, that's why it is an issue of worship. Spiritual relationship with God. See, let's understand this. He wasn't telling us that money in itself was evil when he used the word mammon. Mammon refers to money, riches, wealth, possessions, etc. He wasn't saying that. What he was simply saying, he was identifying the battle of worship. And he was identifying that there is a demonic power that is operating behind the unrighteous mammon. Because money is neutral. It can be used for good, can be used for bad. But there is a demonic power that is operating behind it. And money means power, right? It means power. So unrighteous mammon is the demonic power that influences the way people relate to money. So then every one of us has to ask ourselves a question. Have I been influenced by the demonic power that is influencing mammon? Has my thinking been obscured? The way that I view it, has that been obscured? Has that been influenced? Because, my friend, it truly is a question of worship.